In this podcast, I'm going to give a quick tour of a molecule, just focusing on one molecule. This is Peter Hill Explains, where I discuss things scientific. The molecule I've selected this evening is warfarin. It's an anticoagulant drug. It's a sort of discovered in the 50s. It's really essential for world health. It's one of the things identified by the UN as a key fundamental base medication of the human race, and people take it all over the world for different heart conditions. It's a sort of a staple drug, like a bit like Desperin. So warfarin. Now, warfarin is an organic molecule, and organic molecules mean basically it's made by plants, and it's made by with carbon and hydrogen. Carbon is something which has four electrons in its outer shell, so to speak. In old money, it's got six electrons, two on the inner shell, four on the outer. The outer shell can have a maximum of eight electrons. That's in old money Lewis diagrams. In quantum mechanics, it means two things. It means that the carbon, which we're going to start off with, and it's rather nice to see, can have different structures. It can have a tetrahedral structure, that's bonds, one going up, one to the front and two to the back. So if you can imagine that, or it forms the actual carbon itself forms a pyramid with the bonds going through the apexes. This is due to the fact that those four electrons hybridize between the P, which are a figure eight orbital, and the S, which is a circular orbital. So it hybridizes, so it mixes between the two, and a bit of magic, and it forms this sp3 orbitals, one S and three P's, and it forms this tetrahedral shape. And that's one shape it can form. That's a major thing that carbon does. But there is another thing where carbon forms sort of basically a flat triangle with the spare electron going up and above, forming a half bond above and below, and that's for the flat sp2, or there's another form of hybridization. So carbon's got many suits. It's got a standard triangular pyramid or tetrahedral form. It's also got a flat triangle form with half bond above and below, and so it can form a flat bond. I've got to say this because this occurs both it occurs in this wonderful molecule, the warfarin molecule. So to start off with, I just want you to imagine a methane molecule. Methane has the formula CH4, that is a carbon in the center, and an H on each, or hydrogen on each of the apexes. It forms a little triangular pyramid of methane, and this is the fundamental thing. And what we're going to do is we're going to work from that central methane and swap out three of those hydrogens and put some really interesting stuff in for those hydrogens. So imagine that methane. We're going to put it up in the corner of your brain, and now we're going to actually start to build things and actually remove a hydrogen and plug it in. You can do that. So that's essentially organic chemistry of getting methane, removing hydrogens, and plugging things in. You can hear that I'm on a platform waiting for my family to arrive in about 10 minutes. So I better get this going rather quickly. The first thing we're going to do to build is one of a real wonder of organic chemistry, almost in the full. It's discovered, I think, in the 1850s, early on. This chemist had a dream to try and work out how you could have something with, I think, the formula C6H6. How could you have something with so few hydrogens? How could it form? And the idea is that it forms with these the latter flat sp2 two hybridization carbons, where the carbons form flat triangular bonds. And if you can imagine, those triangles can be arranged to form, there's going to be a train coming through here, you'll hear all sorts of things. Those triangles can be formed to form a benzene ring or an aromatic compound. And this is drawn as a hexagon. You don't draw the hydrogens in organic chemistry. They're assumed. You can work out just by counting that the hydrogens are there. Sorry about the noise here. Those half bonds are drawn as a circle. And so this is an aromatic compound. So it's, you could say every second bond's a double bond in that ring of six carbons. Or you could say all those bonds are hybridized in a ring, and it's a sort of half bonds on top, half bonds at the bottom. So you've got each carbon has a spare bond on it, and that's six bonds all in all. So there's actually three bonds on the top and three bonds in the bottom, all spread evenly amongst them. So that's a benzene ring. So I do recommend going out to Wikipedia or whatever, looking at the Wolfram molecule and looking at this. So the first thing we do is we rip a hydrogen off this benzene ring, a hydrogen off our methane, and plug it all together. So we have a methane with a benzene tipping off it. So we've got a hydrogen, three hydrogens, and one benzene ring off it, an aromatic compound. That's very interesting to start off with. The next thing we're going to build is basically a short chain. I think three or two carbons long, and one of the carbons, not the end carbon, the middle carbon, so it's probably three carbons long. You'll have to look at it. I'm just going off the top of my head, just looked at the molecule, just uploaded it in my head. I've forgotten almost all the, or some of the key details. If you imagine up to the left of your brain, you've got this methane with a benzene ring stuck to it. We're now building the next thing, which is a ketone. So ketones and aldehydes, what's the difference? Well, ketones and aldehydes are all strings of carbon with two hydrogens ripped off and an oxygen plugged in. It's got an oxygen double bond. An aldehyde is the oxygen is bound to the tail end carbon. A ketone is it's bound one or more further back in the middle. You'll get used to understanding what these oxygens do. They're quite electronegative and actually pull electrons right throughout the atom. Now, this is a ketone group, so it goes a carbon with a double hydrogen bond, and then a methyl group, which is a carbon and three hydrogens. So that's a ketone group, and you again rip a hydrogen off the lead carbon, and rip a hydrogen off our molecule, which we're building up in the left-hand kind of brain. I'm just describing how I'm imagining it. I don't know whether it works for you. And you plug it in. And so now you've got a central carbon, two hydrogens, an aromatic compound, and a ketone group. Just to refresh your memory, a ketone, like acetone, is a typical ketone. I think when you've got liver disease or you get ketone in your breath or something like that, it's a nail polish remover. It smells like nail polish remover. An aldehyde, the most famous one, would be formaldehyde for preserving bodies. Okay, I may have to stop this here, and I'll because the train's coming. We're nearly there, because we now have a hydrogen, a ketone group, and a benzene group. The other group is just the toast. The other group, you'll have to construct it a little, stay with me a little bit. There's sort of a ring, figure eight. The left-hand part of the figure eight is a benzene ring. It's that, it's the top of your figure eight, the right-hand part of your figure eight, I'm putting it on the side here. And that's got a complicated structure, relatively complicated structure. So that's just six atoms all in all in the ring, to form it. That will eventually plug into the last of the four places on our methane molecule to make our warfarin molecule, our effective warfarin molecule. So the train will arrive and I'll have to stop really quickly. Now, this is where the warfarin molecule gets really interesting. So I've got a aromatic ring, figure eight, on the side. It's best, I'll put this up on the blog for you to actually see the molecule. And it's that inner ring, which is a bit more complex. The top is the top part of a figure eight. So I've got six atoms to form my figure eight. And there, so two are shared. If you can imagine two hexagons next to each other, two are shared. And then I've got two carbon atoms going over the top. And that top carbon atom has an oxygen-hydrogen group. Instead of the hydrogen, it's got an oxygen and hydrogen. It's sort of like the hydrogen's knocked off the water molecule, and the hydrogen's knocked off, and an OH group is stuck down there. That's one aspect. Then the bottom group, it goes a carbon with a oxygen, double bond oxygen, and that's not a ketone, because the next atom across is not a carbon, but an oxygen, and that oxygen plus an oxygen, and the next carbon along being a carbon with a oxygen. That's a special class of compounds called esters. Your polyester—that's an ester. So it's a beautiful thing. You've got a alcohol up the top and an ester down the bottom, forming a loop, sort of a pincer across, and holding an aromatic compound. I could go into the different. If there wasn't an oxygen there, it was just carbon, oxygen, carbon. That class of compounds are ethers. I think ether is a used as an anesthetic, and ethers. Carbon-oxygen-carbon-oxygen compound. DuPont make it's a hard plastic. And if it's carbon-carbon-oxygen-carbon-carbon-oxygen, that polymer going in a line, that's a sort of a fake oil which never goes off. So they use that to mix up medicines. They put medicines in this fake oil and it never goes to rancid. But going back to us, we've got an aromatic ring, a benzene, and a pincer, which over the top is got an alcohol on it, and on the bottom it's got an ester on it. So that's the little link, and we plug it into our methane. So now we have completed the warfarin molecule, and there's a bit of although we've constructed it that way, there's actually two alternatives that we could construct it. Let's go over our warfarin molecule again in your head. And I hope this is helpful. I think it really is best to look at the physical model rather than actually trying to do this all in your head, which I'm doing at the moment. So we've got central carbon. On one bond is a hydrogen. Another bond is an aromatic benzene ring. Another bond is a ketone. It's three carbons with a oxygen halfway up. And then the last of the four bonds, and that pyramid coming in, is a sort of a pincer, which is on one strand across to the aromatic is an alcohol group hanging off. On the bottom, it goes down and actually forms an ester, which is a oxygen on a carbon, and then the next bond, it's for carbon, it's an oxygen actually in the carbon chain. And so that's your warfarin molecule. And of course there's heaps of hydrogen bonds, heaps of areas where there are no hydrogen bonds. The hydrogen bonds, you require an OH group, sort of a water group, so it looks a bit like water, so hydrogen bonds with it. And it's also got pi orbital bonds, which is a brilliant thing. I've never really seen that in organic biological compounds before, but this is with your aromatic ring. The electrons floating in that ring can actually go up and down. And of course, this means that this wolfram molecule just slips right inside the globular protein that actually climbs in through bonds and actually goes inside, waiting to float to the liver for the liver to clean up the molecule and take it out and start processing it. And here comes the train. There's a few things for you to think about. If you've selected how you select the hydrogen and the ketone group to go in, whether you flip it one way or the other, you put it on top, the hydrogen on top or the hydrogen underneath, and that forms what's known as a stereoisomer. So your warfarin that you pick up, half the molecules are left-handed, and they're good, and the right-handed ones are useless, so to speak. So for your warfarin, only half of it's really effective, and so that's an isomer. There's also a few other beautiful things that happen, but my train's coming, and I'll have to stop, and I'll put this up on the net, and I just hope I'll talk you through a few complicated molecules as they come along. Bye. Thanks for listening.